Time now for our weekly segment, Weekend Wagers. Check it out at weekendwagers.com. You can sign up for their free newsletter daily if you're interested in putting down a few on the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, the CFL. I think they do the WNBA for fun. Lance Motown Fisher joins us. How you doing?
Great, Jason. How you going?
I am all right. Now, we did have a few texts we didn't get to last week quickly. We've had people asking between your raw numbers but your official selections. What's the difference?
The raw numbers, Jason, are essentially a model, a predictive model that say this team, I'll give you an example. We'll say the Oilers tonight have a predictive model that's in our predictive model, say that the Oilers have a half a goal edge on the Devils. Are we going to make it an official selection? No. There's a number of things that don't check in beyond the fact that the computer model says, yes, they have an edge, but we're not just going to blindly throw money just on that. Now we're going to go into, as we've talked about in many weeks past, we're going to go into trends, we're going to go into coaching, we're going to go into Z-scores, about how many assists the team puts together, all sorts of factors that combined to go further just beyond a model that then backs it up. That's what makes it such a confident decision when we do make it.
So are the raw numbers then a tad riskier? Is that
best way to put it?
Okay, fair enough. It's early. I know you avoided the NHL early, you said, but now we're almost at the quarter point of the season, and you start to see some things maybe even out a little bit. Does over-under change at, like, do you find that the lines change significantly? Do they settle down more once they've seen almost 20 games from every NHL team?
Settling down's hard to say, because in the NHL, 5.5 is the standard of every total. On sports, like, sometimes you see a little higher, a little lower.
Pretty much every game, 5.5.
Pretty much every game. Sometimes if the Leafs get involved, or the Blues get involved, might be 5. It's always 5 or 5.5, typically, though.
Even with the orders?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Betting the over a lot on them, I would think, with the amount of goals that they give up. So what's your pick, anything you like this weekend in the NHL?
In the NHL, actually, tonight, I was mentioning the Oilers. It's not an official play, but as a flyer, you want to throw something on some beer money. I can tell you that since 2010, as we like to say, bad home teams from between a 310 and a 420 home percentage off of a close one goal divisional loss are 56-32, which the Oilers seem to fall in
that. Oh, yeah, they fall in that category.
They seem to fall in that category. And, but of course, they're bottom feeders. We don't like to risk too much on them. However, in this case, we also like to look at something, called the puck line. In this case, we wouldn't mind chasing for a small risk and a big reward when the Oilers have been winning. They have won typically by more than a goal. So if we chase them at a puck line where the puck line is not the money line, the money line is pretty much even, but the puck line, if they win at a minus 1.5 puck line, if they win by two goals, including an empty net, they all count, you're getting plus 248 right now on them. So that means that you're going to literally get 2.5 times your money by betting them to win by two goals. Yes, it's risky. Of course it is. Oilers win by two goals, Oilers win, period. Of course it's risky. But you're only risking, say, $10 to win $25. That's not a bad risk, and that's what you always want to do. Just like yesterday, we took the puck line on the Hawks. We took the puck line at minus one. There's a different way you could do the minus one, but basically if they win but not by two, you just push. You get your money back. And in this case, instead of betting minus 160 or $16 to win 10, yes, we would have won had we just picked them to win, but there was much more value, plus 120, to pick them to win by two. And in all honesty, the game went almost according to plan. They were up 4-3. The Flames pulled their goalie with almost 2 minutes left. Perfect chance to get that win. We ended up.
Yeah, I would think that the potential for two goal games now is higher because many more coaches are pulling their goaltenders significantly earlier in games.
Dallas Eakins is a classic. I mean, he'll be down two goals, and especially when you're looking at the orders, he'll be down two goals, and with like 4 minutes left, he's pulling his goal. And in fact, he's making the right decision.
Yeah, he's making the right decision.
Yeah. But as a person who's wagering on the game, you love that because he might even keep his goal goalie out there for a third goal down three.
Now, it was interesting. Exactly a week ago, the NBA commissioner came out and said that they were for maybe opening up to having legalized betting in the States. Gary Bettman comes out and says he doesn't want young kids betting on, quote, the spread versus watching their favorite team. However, then just days before, they signed that huge sponsorship, a daily pay fantasy sports service that takes a rake on fee for playing with the poker game, which means if the NHL's agreed to it, that means they're getting money from it when there's a rake involved, correct?
The only thing we don't know is if the NHL is going to act as an affiliate. If you or I, and this is one of the reasons at Weekend Wagers, we're combined, you know, as I said, we're powered with Pro Computer Gambler. We don't care who you bet with, how you bet. We are not taking losses on anybody's money on their deposit, whereas when you're an affiliate with these companies, you take losses. You take people's losses. It's a complete contradiction to what we want to do. In this case, is the NHL big, you know, are they partnering with an affiliation fee? We don't know. That part, I'm almost going to say, give them the benefit of the doubt and say no, they probably aren't. With that said, DraftKings or FanDuel, these two companies that are dominating the pay-to-play daily fantasy sports leagues, you're looking at these companies going, how, you know, they got around it because of a long-term or a short-term legislation rule applied in 2006, which says fantasy sports is legal. Well, they are now fully legal to in the Canada and the U.S. to play, to take a rake, and if you are promoting them on your site, you will essentially, every person you sign up, you will make off of their losses.
That's it's kind of hypocritical from the NHL, which maybe we shouldn't be surprised when it comes to Bettman, as Lance Motown Fisher from WeekendWagers.com joins us. Sign up free for their daily newsletter every day. And, you know, the NBA just signed that partnership with FanDuel. The NFL has one, huge. You know, for the NHL to try to speak out of one side of their mouth, say, no, we don't want this, but, geez, we'll sign up. Like, it's just, you're not fooling anyone who's paying attention.
Well, if you're Gary Bettman, I mean, Gary is only a speaker for all the owners. He's a speaker for the owners. He's our fearless leader when it comes to, you know, where the direction the NHL is going to. But yeah, it is extremely hypocritical to say on one side that no, we don't want gambling, but then when here's a great quote from the NHL Vice President of Global Partnerships. He says, "Recognizing the direct correlation between fantasy sports and fan engagement, we look forward to providing our fans with a new opportunity to extend and enhance their NHL experience each and every day of the season." Oh my, are you kidding me? You're telling me this on the other side, you're going, no, sped betting is bad. Yet Sports Select takes in hundreds of millions of dollars. Get in the games, Don Cherry, the whole deal since 1990, roughly. And you're biting the hand that feeds you? How did Rogers get a $5.2 billion contract for people that, what, only like their own teams? Are you kidding me? You're only watching games you are interested in when the Leafs, Flames, Oilers are playing? Give me a break. People in Canada have been accustomed to this culture. They like betting a few bucks, you know, in a legal government lottery, and that is one of the number one reasons why hockey has, you know, expanded its reach is the gambling. No different than
the NFL. That's what really they made their livelihood on that. Really, with that and one day a week, of course.
One day a week, all the games are together. Oh, but of course they're gonna, you know, disassociate themselves. Anything gambling. Oh, but I have to now cheer for players. It doesn't matter which players. How many people? Even players are cheering. Even players in the game are cheering for players on the other team. How messed up is this? But then, no, you don't want to bet on a team winning. You're just betting on players now. So yeah. You don't care how players do. In fact, there's another quote from Fox Sports. The guy says, it's in a recent quote, he says, if you're reading about this in the first place, you probably know what daily fantasy leagues are all about. But if not, this is the best part, you draft a team within the bounds of a salary cap, join a contest, turn on the red zone, and pray. Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. You draft a bunch of guys, go on, you put, you know, in this case, you put $5 or $10 or $500. I don't know the max you can bet on these games, but for fantasy league, you watch the red zone and hope people score. That's it.
Yeah, I know. It's nuts. Now, let's move to the CFL. Some interesting lines. Of course, there's only the two games. Tom Higgins is 16-2 against the spread.
17 now.
17-2.
That was last week.
When revenging a loss in which his team has scored two.
That's with Edmonton,
two touchdowns,
Calgary, and Montreal.
Wow. So it doesn't matter who he coaches. He finds ways to bounce back. So then are you like the Owls then this weekend?
we don't really like anyone in this game. Honestly, the only real stat that shows any interest is probably since 2007, home favorites between 3 and 10.5 points off a home division win are just 3 and 24, which falls right into the
3 and 24.
Which falls, yeah, 3 and 24.
Wow.
And yeah, against the spread between 3 and 10 points.
Yeah.
Which Hamilton falls right in that, you know, and it's hard. But then on the other side, it's hard to say Montreal is going to score 50. I mean, they're not. Obviously, it was a close game most of that game, or at least for the first half. But I don't buy into the Ticats. If I was going to take something, I would bet Montreal. But
what about Stampeders Eskimos? Any numbers stick out for you?
Again, this is back to conflict of both sides. Right now, since 2013, the Stampeders are 19-1 straight up if they aren't on a four-game winning streak. It's a weird stat, but considering they're 29-9 in the last two seasons, that says a lot. So if they're not on a four-game winning streak, they tend to crush the numbers. They're 95%. This season they're 7-0 straight up against plus 500 teams. There we go, another good one. But then we go for the Eskimos, which, I mean, not supporting so much the Eskimos as it is the under. But this season the Eskimos are 12-1 under after a game where they covered the spread, which they did last week. And Chris Jones is 10-1 under the total when the Eskimos against divisional teams. So, I mean, the money says it's the Stamps and the Esks under. I personally don't want to bet against the Eskimos, so I won't. And there's nothing strong saying we should. So, I mean, I think it probably will be an under game, a defensive battle.
NFL is always interesting. If you picked the Raiders last night, you were likely
a genius.
Yeah, man. If you're in a loser pool, there's most people might have tanked it last night with KC. But the Raiders didn't look like an undefeated, a winless team last night. They look pretty good. The Chiefs, of course. Now everybody will be questioning them. You always have a few locks that you can go check out if you sign up at weekendwagers.com. I know you don't give them all, but what are ones you want to share with us right now?
Well, I'll show you the trends first. Some of the trends we like to do, we've done recently on the show. Some of the interesting stuff, the Houston Texans are 2-16. Last week were 2-15. Since 2013, after the first month of the NFL, absolutely fascinating stat. The Texans cannot win after September, and no one can understand why. Pete Carroll and the Seahawks, they're 10-1 as a home favorite of a touchdown or less. They obviously got a lot to prove. Mark Trestman, our CFL man, and the Bears are 9-0-1 over the total after a home game, which we have to include failing to cover the spread most of the time. And then Bill Belichick and the Patriots are 47-0. 40 wins, 7 losses after 3 or more games going over. Bill Belichick, once he turns a game into a shootout, he continues to his reign. As far as this week, we got 3 regular plays, but one that we really like is looking in Broncoland. We're actually projecting essentially a 23-20 score either way with the Fish. Your team, Jason Greger, the Miami Dolphins, we project a closer game than the spread appears to be. It's hard to bet against Peyton. It's 60% of the people are going against Peyton, only simply for the fact that he doesn't like to lose, and when he loses, he comes back hard. But Miami's D, do a search on Miami's D. You'll find some interesting.
Oh, I don't need a search, baby. They're good. They're real good.
Right now, the Dolphins' defense is perfectly suited for playing the Broncos. Their unit excels at snuffing out the run with its front 7. And when you're looking at it, as a result, the Dolphins rarely concede big aerial plays. Miami is holding opponents to an NFL best 19% completion rating when the ball travels more than 20 yards. In fact, they feast off teams that throw the ball over 20 yards. Sounds like a plan. Go Fish.
Yeah, with it's interesting with Sanders and Thomas likely not to play too. That, you know, that means only Thomas is really the only big deep threat. He's still one of he's probably the best wide receiver in the game. What about now? Last week the Patriots, of course, they dominated again. The one other one I do want to talk about is the St. Louis Rams, and I find there is such a tough team because they play a lot closer games than you would think. You know, they don't necessarily win them all. What do you think of the Rams this week?
Well, this, honestly, I mean, you know, this is one of our plays this week, but I can say that, you know, how are they going to bounce back? I would say that it's less than likely that they're going to continue what they've been doing, and that San Diego is in probably a pretty good position to pull something off this week. The Rams are an interesting team. That NFC West is completely unbelievable. I mean, you know, it's never been so unpredictable as really this year. When you got the defending champs, you got San Fran. No one knows what they're doing. You got Arizona playing like not Arizona, and then you got St. Louis, who everybody wrote off, and is still is still around. So it's tough. That NFC West is one of by a lot of hearing and a lot of chatter, the NFC West is one of the hardest. Is one of the hardest divisions to handicap this whole entire year.
Once again, weekendwagers.com. You can sign up there with your free newsletter. Get the daily. They send it out daily on every sport you want, any team, all the information you want at weekendwagers.com. Appreciate your time. We'll talk to you next Friday, man.
Thanks, Jason. See you next week.